السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Everyone can hear me إن شاء الله in the back up top. No, I'm getting the no. So this is the dilemma of discrimination against taller people. It's a universal problem. So I'm going to try to talk into the mic, inshallah ta'ala. I want to first and foremost extend just my gratitude to the brothers and sisters here at Bin Zayd for having me here. SubhanAllah, I've driven by this place so many times and always just admired the architecture and seen some of the great work that's come out of the center, but never had the blessing to actually come here and attend. And subhanAllah, this is an extremely short visit for me to Qatar. It's one of the shortest. It's more like a layover in Qatar. And so, to have the opportunity to meet so many of you is truly a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've been sort of in a whirlwind. So last week, alhamdulillah, I completed my Hajj. And then I went to the United States and attended an Islamic convention there in Houston. And then I jump back on a plane back to this side of the world, so I don't really know where I am. So if I accidentally say another country name, then please forgive me, because that's just sort of what the schedule has been like over the last few weeks. But I will say this, that one of the things that I always just take from that experience of Hajj, Allah has blessed me to go on a regular basis, is how profound and powerful that experience of reigniting faith can be in a person's life. That your entire Islam becomes a halal and haram diet, or an obligations, fulfilling the fara'id and doing my part, and simply moving at the standard that society moves at, especially when you live in a Muslim country or a Muslim community, especially when everyone around you in your circle is doing the exact same thing. Not only can that render you complacent, it can render you bored, to where your faith doesn't really give you much in terms of that personal connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I must say here that we don't look for the spiritual high as the means of our iman and our Islam and our yaqeen or our ihsan or taqwa. It's not about the spiritual high. Because that's another extreme where spirituality is actually even bypassing the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ sometimes. And it's all about attaining some sort of a temporary spiritual high. And that's also dangerous, because in Islam, the goal is realized in the means. If you are following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to the best of your ability, if you are trying to aspire to be what the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were, though you will never reach their station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the goal of tazkiyah is being realized anyway, even in the moments that you're not feeling the spiritual high. The Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith in Ibn Hibban, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ شِرَّةٍ وَلِكُلِّ شِرَّةٍ فَتْرَةٍ فَمَنْ كَانَتْ فَتْرَتُهُ إِلَىٰ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَى وَمَنْ كَانَتْ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ ذَلَكْ فَقَدْ هَلَكْ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that everything has its peak, and then everything eventually runs its course. And in this particular narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized the course, the low point, the high point and the low point. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose to emphasize the low point. Whoever has their fatra, their low point in accordance with my sunnah, then he has succeeded. And whoever has it in accordance with other than that, then he has failed. What that means, and the way that the ulama describe this hadith and explain this hadith, is that it is very common for people to go to extremes in their religion to a point that their religion depends so much on their emotional state that when they're on an emotional high, not only do they do the obligations, they go far beyond an appreciation for it. I'm only talking about in the worldly sense now. So please pay attention to that. Meaning what? Fasting in the month of Ramadan, by fasting from food, drink, and some of those blessings, you gain a greater appreciation for those blessings. So a temporary disconnect. There's the hadith of, the narration of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu walking by Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, and he had meat, just bags of meat that he purchased. So he said to him, "What is that?" He said, "It's meat." He said, "Did you buy meat?" And he said, "Yeah." Now, I'm not about to give a vegetarian khutbah or say that you can't eat meat. Eating meat is fine. Everything within its proper quantity and things of that sort. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Well, why did you purchase meat?" He said, "Ishtahaytu." He said, "Well, I just felt like it. I desired it." And Umar radiallahu anhu says, "Is it that every time you desire something, you buy it? أَوَ كُلَّمَا اشْتَهَيْتَ شَيْءٍ اشْتَرَيْتُ." Is it just you feel like it, so you just buy it? There wasn't anything about the meat. Umar was trying to instill a lesson of tarbiyah in him that don't just consume because you can all the time blessings. It's not just about your capability or you have the ability to buy whatever you want or do whatever you want. Don't be reckless because you can buy something. Instead, sometimes a little bit of deprivation is good. Anyone that has raised kids knows that the worst thing that you can do to your child is spoil them so rotten that they become entitled. Because that's not something they can shake off as adults. They just become narcissistic monsters. Because everything was handed to them growing up, and they expect the world now to play the role of parent and just give them whatever they want all the time. And when they don't get what they want, right, they throw tantrums as adults because they didn't get over the tantrums as children when a good parent held something back so that they could recognize that not everything in life comes that way to you. So their tantrums are delayed until adulthood, because we all threw tantrums at some point in life. And it's better that you get those tantrums out of the way as a child and recognize the world doesn't just come to you that way. So the Prophet ﷺ taught, again, sometimes a temporary disconnect from something that you can have in the worldly sense is a means of gaining a greater appreciation to move beyond that addiction. I'm talking about even at the good deeds, that you look to people and you think, "Well, I'm doing this. I don't see other people around me doing that." You don't have to look to the Sahaba to find people to inspire you to move forward, to do better in your deen. There are living examples amongst us. In fact, you might even find them in your family that are excelling, even if they're not as a package in this, to the naked eye, excelling in every aspect, but there's something they're excelling in that I can take from, that I can do better. Some sort of quality, some sort of khuluq, some sort of characteristic, some sort of act of worship. And if you're sitting there thinking, like, "I can't relate, I've pretty much maxed out in all of that," you are the problem. You're exactly the person that I'm talking to. All right? No, but on a serious note, someone in your capacity is doing better than you in something that you can aspire to and you can look to. And that should put you not to shame, but to be motivated in a different way. How many of you have heard of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala? No one in Qatar has heard of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? Or you guys just don't like raising your hands here? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah is a very famous man in our tradition, rightfully so, who excelled to a point that he is the fifth of Khulafa al-Rashideen, though he did not live immediately after Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu or al-Hasan radiallahu anhu. There's a disconnect, but he's considered to be from Khulafa al-Rashideen. And Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah beautifully describes it. He said that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz to Khulafa al-Rashideen is like Rajab to all of the other sacred months. The other three come together, and then Rajab comes later on in the year all by itself. He said, that's Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. So he truly was a man of a century, the first mujaddid of the religion, by the first reviver of the religion by consensus. Between Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and Isa alayhi salam being the last mujaddid, there's a lot of disagreement on almost every century. But the first century after the companions, there is consensus it was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala. The man excelled in every way. But you know what? He goes out one day to find his time to reflect, to do tadabbur and tafakkur, contemplation. And he sees Mujahid, rahimahullah ta'ala, the great scholar of tafsir, sitting at the riverbank remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he starts to cry. And he says, "Waylaki ya Mujahid, woe to you, O Mujahid. كيف ألقى ربي في يوم أنت فيه ملاقي. How am I supposed to meet Allah on a day that you too will meet Allah? Meaning, subhanAllah, he felt ashamed of himself because he saw Mujahid in one act. Notice that Umar is being praised by everyone around him for his generosity, for his nobility, for his reforms, for his ibadah, all of these types of things. But he found one thing, one man around him, doing something that that preceded him in. And he was afraid of meeting Allah on the day that Mujahid meets Allah. Meaning, my good deeds will be insufficient compared to your good deeds. So look for examples around you, even if they excel only in one area. A good characteristic, a good quality, a good